Hello, I'm Cyrus Lorizade QC. In this podcast, I'll be talking about some of the key topics that are of importance when preparing for a trial that involves one or more vulnerable witnesses. Our knowledge in respect of the needs of vulnerable witnesses has improved radically in recent years. We now have a much greater understanding of the measures that are necessary to ensure the witnesses are not placed at a disadvantage by reason of their vulnerability. As advocates, we must recognise our role in ensuring that the requirements of fairness are met. It is the duty of all legal representatives to work with the court and each other to ensure that parties and witnesses can fairly participate in proceedings without the quality of their evidence being diminished and without being put in fear or distress by reason of their vulnerability. It is essential, therefore, that you are familiar with the law and practice relating to vulnerable witnesses, including Rule 3A and Practice Direction 3AA of the Family Procedure Rules, as well as the 20 principles of questioning, and that you bear these in mind in every case. You should also be familiar with the toolkits of the Advocates Gateway, which provide useful guidance and advice on a range of topics relating to vulnerability in the courts. There is no one-size-fits-all approach to dealing with vulnerable witnesses. The preparation required will be as individual and unique as the person you are dealing and working with. In every case, however, proper trial preparation begins well before the date set for the trial itself. In fact, it begins as soon as you open the brief and begin reading. Advocates, as well as the court, are under a duty to identify a party or a witness who is vulnerable at the earliest opportunity. We must all be alert at every stage to indicators of vulnerability in our own clients as well as witnesses. In some cases, your instructions may make plain that there are issues of vulnerability. Your client may be deaf, or the witness may be a child. But in other cases, indications of vulnerability, such as a history or anxiety or intrusive flashbacks, may be found in the depths of the bundle or may become apparent during a conference. Conscientious preparation from the outset and throughout is the best way to ensure that you are in a position to fulfill your duty to identify a vulnerable party or witness as early as possible in the proceedings. In order to be properly prepared for trial, you must also be properly prepared for hearings at which important decisions will be made in respect of case management. You will need to consider whether a witness or a party should be considered by the courts to be vulnerable. And if so, be prepared to address the appropriate case management decisions. Consideration will be required as to whether expert opinion or an intermediary assessment is needed to advise on witnesses' particular needs. Gaining a basic knowledge of any particular mental health condition or a physical condition that could affect the giving of evidence may assist you in identifying the appropriate course. Keep in mind that individual needs may change during the course of the proceedings, and directions made at the outset may need to be revisited later. In every case in which a vulnerable witness is to give evidence, there should be a ground rules hearing at which the court will be required to consider whether to make participation directions to promote the fair participation of the witnesses. If one has not already been fixed, and you consider that one is required for either your client or a witness, you should make an application for a GRH. The directions made at the ground rules hearing will be pivotal to your trial preparation. In advance of the ground rules hearing, you should begin thinking about the conduct of the trial in earnest. You will need to carefully review any expert or intermediary report and be prepared to address each of the issues that may arise at the ground rules hearing. Familiarity with commonly used types of special measure is essential, but be prepared to think outside of the box and invite the court to consider making bespoke directions if they better meet particular needs of your witness. You should be prepared to think about matters that go beyond those identified in the papers, and if necessary, raise them with the judge. For example, are there measures that would make your client feel more comfortable than those available at your court centre or proposed by another party? If the court directs written questions, what will be the procedure if the witness gives an answer that is unexpected? Is it necessary to record any undisputed facts which will not be the subject of cross-examination? Where an intermediary is appointed, he or she should provide a report as well as attend the ground rules hearing. The report will provide a wealth of information as to the particular needs of the witness with which you should familiarise yourself. If there are any aspects of the report on which you are not clear or would like clarification, this can be done at the ground rules hearing. A proper understanding of the key recommendations will be essential to the next stages of your preparation. As the ground rules hearing may take place well in advance of the trial or be conducted by another advocate, it is vital to ensure that there is a comprehensive and agreed record of ground rules to which you can refer later. Proper trial preparation extends beyond the formulation of questions and submissions, but includes ensuring that the trial itself runs according to plan. It's important, therefore, that all relevant issues are recorded, including any practical matters. For example, are there any steps necessary to ensure that an alleged victim of abuse does not come into contact with an alleged perpetrator? Once the ground rules have been established, your thoughts can turn to what is likely to be a series of tasks by way of trial preparation. The first of these tasks is likely to be the completion of a witness template. Time estimates are often of increased importance in cases involving vulnerable witnesses. In some cases, the court may place a limit on the length of your questioning. Such a limit must be adhered to, and you will need to ensure that your questions are focused and that you are confident that you can cover all essential matters in the time available. In other cases, accurate time estimates may be necessary to ensure that the witness is not kept waiting or is able to take their medication at a prescribed time. Your time estimate may therefore be relied upon to ensure that the witness is not put at a disadvantage. In considering your time estimate, you will need to take into account the ground rules and the witness's particular needs. For example, could breaks be required during your questioning? Will there be a delay to allow for interpretation? How long is the witness likely to need to process and respond to each question? How long might the drawing of a sketch map actually take? All these issues should form part of your estimate, and you should be prepared to be held to it. If the court has directed the preparation of written topics or questions, the deadlines for submission to the intermediary and the judge must be diarised and adhered to. It's advisable to prepare written questions in every case in which you'll be dealing with a vulnerable witness, whether the court has directed you to do so or not. Taking the time to formulate written questions will assist you in understanding the communication needs of the witness and be confident that you will not fall back into old habits when thinking on your feet. Your questions must adhere to the ground rules, and you should be guided by the advice of any expert or intermediary, as well as the 20 principles of questioning. If you're directed to prepare written questions, ensure that you give yourself sufficient time to meet the deadline for submission. Preparation may take longer than you anticipate. If appointed, an intermediary will advise on whether your questions will be understood by a witness. They may suggest alternatives to complicated, leading, or tagged questions. You should review your questions once the intermediary has considered them. The formulation of appropriate written questions is a significant departure from the way in which most of us are used to preparing our cross-examination. Learning this new skill can be a challenging and time-consuming task, but there is no substitute for taking the time to do so. You will need to pay particular attention to the language that you intend to use, as well as the formulation of the questions. Take some time to think in advance how you will approach more complicated issues with a witness. For example, how will you ask a witness who has difficulty reading questions that relate to documents? If you plan to ask a witness to describe a room, would it be better to ask them to draw a sketch? If so, remember to make a note to ensure that paper and pens are provided for the witness. Your questioning of a vulnerable witness should not be interrupted by the need for an usher to take paper and pens from the courtroom to the video link room. With proper preparation, these potential pitfalls can be easily avoided. It is possible that your case may be considered suitable for a settlement conference if the current pilots are extended. This could arise at a Fahedra, IRH, or directions appointment. A settlement conference can only be fixed with the consent of all the parties. The settlement conference's protocol to basic principles states that if there is any issue of lack of understanding or capacity of any party or any effect of emotional pressure or vulnerability, the settlement conference must be terminated. If a party has learning disabilities, mental health issues, or any other such issues as impact on full participation, a judge will be fully aware of this and only communicate with that party in a manner which is appropriate and upon appropriate advice from all parties, and in particular, that party's legal representative. It will therefore be essential for you to have considered whether your client has vulnerabilities, which might impact on their ability to take part in a settlement conference before advising on whether they should agree to do so. And in the event that you advise that they should, then to be in a position to advise the judge as to how to communicate appropriately with your client. With greater understanding of the needs of vulnerable witnesses has come a greater understanding of the way in which we as advocates need to adapt, learning new techniques and skills which will ensure good communication and a fair process. Good preparation is fundamental, and I hope that this podcast will stand you in good stead when you are preparing for your next trial where the issue of vulnerability arises.